Recently, podcasters from across Iowa and several other states came to the Des Moines Metro for a meetup. We went and sat down with several of the podcasters to learn more about their shows. In just a few seconds, you're going to hear from Ken Chester and Sasha J. Little from Roadworthy Drive. It's a podcast about vehicles, all kinds of vehicles, what Ken and Sasha like and what they may not like about them. Roadworthy Drive, coming up next. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, whose members sell parts for tractors, combines, any number of agricultural equipment pieces. Learn more by going to ntpda.com for the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association. That's ntpda.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
So with us is Ken Chester and Sasha J. Little, and they do a podcast called Roadworthy Drive. Welcome to the Business News Hour, kids. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
All right. What are you doing?
How do we explain that? You can explain it as mobility. Basically, I think the way to explain it best, if it moves, we talk about it, both current vehicles and current technology and what's coming, as well as the more traditional things of educating people on how to be better consumers in buying a vehicle, caring for a vehicle, trying to explain the attributes of what's going on in their vehicles now, and what either they might drive in the immediate future and what might drive them.
Well, when we talk about transportation, Sasha, we talk about all kinds of modes of transportation because this area is quickly changing, isn't it?
It is, actually. And when you're talking about how people are taking transportation now, it's not the transportation that we're used to, you know, like the buses and so on and so forth. We're now talking about autonomous taxis in some cities. We're talking about Waymo. We're talking about taking the human element out of behind the wheel and how that's connecting with public transit.
Yeah, and not only public transit, but also commercial entities. Anheuser-Busch, Coors, signed on for 100 autonomous delivery trucks to go over the road. And I think that, Ken, as we look to the future, that's going to impact the truck driving business. Incredible changes, yes?
Yes. In fact, the American Trucking Association had talked about a shortage of drivers, some 48,000 drivers this year, to expand in about 160,000 driver shortage by 2024.
Sure.
The first autonomous truckload, and it was beer, by Anheuser-Busch was about 3 years ago. I'm sorry, 4 years ago. It was 2015 from Fort Collins, Colorado, to, I believe, Colorado Springs warehouse. So this has been evolving for some time.
And it's going to happen. It is, and not only, you know, technology finds a place where human beings can't or will not work in. And so we see this disruption in the truck driving industry like crazy. And this is going to have an economic impact in the future where if you don't have people that are making money driving a truck. Now, from what I understand, and you guys can correct me because we have news stories about this all the time, but I think what the story is, Sasha, is that, long over-the-road trucks may go autonomous, but you still have to have warehouses and then delivery on the inside, yes?
Well, and you're talking about the last mile.
Right.
And the other thing that I want to bring up is that with this autonomous, our farmers right now, a lot of your tractors, right outside of Iowa here, there's a company called Smart Ag that they actually help with developing that kind of equipment. They're talking about weed pickers and stuff so they don't have to use the pesticides, and that's all autonomously run.
Sure. And agriculture, interestingly enough that you should bring that up, agriculture is one of the major technological advanced areas.
In fact, Farm Progress Show, yep, 2 to 3 years ago, KHIA's introduced two prototype autonomous tractors, yep, one with a cab, one without. We actually ran that video on our website when it came out. And people think that all this technology is for the urban areas, but actually it shows that that and even mobility as a service has a lot of benefit for rural consumers and motorists as well.
Absolutely. You know, we've been smart planting for a long time.
Yes.
And for a long time. And that is cut down on waste. It's cut down on fertilizer. It's cut down on a lot of things. Now, the equipment is much more expensive, but it shows how technology can then overtake an area. Sasha J. Little is with us, as well as Ken Chester, and they are the Roadworthy Drive. That's the name of the podcast.
Thank you.
Had to read my own writing there. So, all right. So outside of trucking and Uber and Lyft and other forms of autonomous vehicles, there's another thing that has really captivated so much of Iowa and other states, and that's the utilization of bicycle traffic for vehicular motivation from point A to point B. I mean, here in the Des Moines Metro, there's 750 miles of trails. And this is becoming a thing. Now that we have e-bikes out there, anybody can get on a bicycle and do 20, 25 miles an hour and get to work.
Planners are looking at and reassessing what mobility is. It could be anything from pedal power and the renewal of a bicycle to e-bikes to scooters.
Yep.
You're hearing terms like road diets.
Yep.
Where they are introducing the bike trails to coexist with motor vehicles, because it's a belief that motor vehicles are not the supreme, main, only option for a lot of people.
Man, you are speaking my language.
Right? I mean, people have to understand that when streets were first here, they weren't here for the motorized vehicle. They were here for people. And I think now we're entering a situation with the electric scooters and with the bicycles. It's intercepting where we're taking our streets back.
Yes.
And by allowing a thinner street, you can actually have more commercialization in the...
Good Lord, Sasha, have you been with me for the last year? Let me just tell you this story, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we are in the Sherwood Forest Events Center, which is located in Windsor Heights, Iowa. In Windsor Heights, Iowa, it's 10 blocks from 73rd Street to 63rd Street. There is a five-lane highway that cuts right through the middle of that town, okay? Two lanes east, two lanes west with a turning lane. Okay. All right, it is built for 40 to 45 miles an hour, easy. They have a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. Everybody bitches about the fact that they get all these tickets. $1.5 million worth of tickets came to the city of Windsor Heights a year ago.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was built intentionally.
Yeah, right. I got you. But, you know, myself and so many other people are now calling on this city to stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Create a road diet, one lane east, one lane west, a turning lane, and then create either protected bike lanes or what that will allow us to do, and I'm sorry for this commercial at this point, but you guys are drinking the same sauce as I am.
Yep.
That what happens is commercial redevelopment of property along a main street will increase.
Yes.
Not to mention that putting roads on a road diet with the introduction of bike trails, bike paths, things like that, slows traffic down,
Safety. Making
it safer for everybody, whether you be pedestrians or motorists.
Yeah, everybody gets to use the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when you have, when you get away from gasoline and when you're focusing on electric, now you don't have to have a gas station every three blocks.
Right.
You can actually open that up to like a mom and pop's little corner store. You can open it up. I mean, it opens up so many different ideas when you get people off the pump.
And that doesn't even begin to talk about mobility as a service. Why do you even need to own a motor vehicle in the first place?
Right.
And that, again, not just an urban situation. We talk about electric vehicles a lot on our program. And our threshold is so once we get past the range anxiety, and they're getting closer all the time, because we've talked about battery technology, which I won't get into here. It's amazing.
Right.
There's so much out there. But I'll give you this little taste. 2 years ago, we talked about a couple of German engineers that reimagined the lithium-ion battery pack designed to fit a Tesla Model S. Their recharge time between charges, 650 miles.
True.
Which is double the average vehicle today. And if they even get 500, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
That's what's coming.
Yeah. We are talking with Ken Chester and Sasha J. Little. They have the podcast called Roadworthy Drive, and we're going to have links to that up on our radio blog. All right, let me just give you another thing to chew on here for just a minute. When we talk about autonomous vehicles outside of trucks, okay, and we're talking about vehicles that are doing this, one of the other interesting things is on the safety concern, as I understand it, is those autonomous vehicles will pre-space themselves between vehicles, so we cut down on hazardous rear-end collisions and,
Okay, so what I compare this to is when we have 100% autonomous vehicles on the road. If you've ever seen the Bee movie, there's a scene where the two bees walk out into the middle of traffic and all the cars go around them. And that's what it's going to be like. It's one of those things where the vehicles are going to have a vehicle to X or vehicle to everything technology, where they're going to be communicating with not only the car that's in front of them, behind them, three blocks from them, but also the stoplights and what's also around them.
All interconnected.
On a nanosecond to nanosecond continual.
And imagine the fact that when you go from point A to point B in this autonomous world, you don't have to wait at stoplights. You don't have to, you know, it's incredible.
But let me blow your mind. Right now, if you own a vehicle that's 2 to 3 years old, chances are that vehicle already incorporates some level of radar cruise control. Mm-hmm. And it typically, they call it adaptive cruise control with stop and go. Meaning that cruise control already has the ability to bring your vehicle to a complete stop without your interaction and react in real time to the traffic in front of you. Not to mention there's another thing called automatic emergency stop or automatic emergency braking, which will slow you down significantly at speeds above 35 miles an hour, but has the ability to bring your vehicle to a stop on its own at speeds below 35 miles an hour. That's courtesy of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, because that's a standard that the automakers have agreed to meet prior to their requirement in 2022. And a lot of vehicles today already have it.
Man, everything changes.
Everything.
And the technology, guys, the technology has allowed us to experiment and do things that we would have thought 10 years ago were just fantasy.
I mean, I'm still waiting for my car to fold up into a suitcase. I mean, I'll be honest about it. But
you and George Jetson.
Right? But it is one of those things where it's an amazing time to be alive. It's an amazing time that we're actually seeking other ways to get around, cleaner ways to get around.
Healthier ways to get around.
A lot of times for somebody like me, I've got extra weight. So a bicycle, like, on its own wouldn't be as appealing. But now that we have, like, an electric bike where it will help me, it will actually help encourage me to take on a healthier lifestyle.
Trent. Yeah, it is a fascinating world.
Let me drop this number
on. All right, here we go.
Right now, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says that 94% of all accidents that occur in the United States right now is attributed to driver choice or driver error. Full implementation of autonomous vehicles will reduce that number by 80%, meaning the 40,000 people a year that die would be reduced by over 80%.
It's pretty amazing. So let me give you the pushback. Okay, and because I hear this all the time.
Come on.
The pushback is, you know, we can't stop hackers from hacking into systems. What's going to prevent hackers from hacking into your vehicle and allowing it to stop dead on the highway and also create a bigger hazard because now you're all incorporated with the technology and it's going to kill us all?
A few things.
Yeah.
First of all, you're never going to be 100% on top of someone that's bound and determined to get into your systems. That is true with your phone. That is true with aviation. And when you're talking about an autonomous vehicle, there's things like blockchain.
Right.
They have actually tried. There's a convention that where people gather and they try to hack different systems and so on and so forth. The only thing that they were able to really do was unlock it and then turn it slightly, wasn't it?
And some of that, you had to actually be at the vehicle or in the vehicle to do it.
Yeah, this isn't something where you're going to be able to hold someone ransom within their car from, like, you know, Germany or something.
Pay $5,000 or we're not going to let you get into McDonald's. Yeah,
let me add to that. 3 years ago, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration issued guidelines for cybersecurity. They acknowledge that while it's not foolproof to prevent somebody from hacking it, they offered layers of security so that there was a fail-safe, so that you might hack it at a high level, but as far as doing the sorts of things of vehicle manipulation or causing harm or traffic accidents or something as a result of getting control of your vehicle is going to be pretty slim. We'll never say, like Sasha mentioned earlier, that it's 100%, but the way that they're working now, by design, a lot less likely.
And also, I just have to point out, if you give me the option of whether I'm driving a vehicle that is going to keep me and my children safe on the road and keep everyone else safe on the road, and I'm not going to have to worry about a drunk driver or a tipsy driver or a tired driver or a distracted driver versus the 1 in 100 million chance that someone's going to hack my vehicle, I will take the autonomous vehicle.
Take the autonomous
vehicle.
All right. Their names are Ken Chester and Sasha J. Little. It is called the Roadworthy Drive, and we will have links to their podcast platform up on our radio blog. Thanks, guys, for doing this.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Ken Chester and Sasha J. Little from Roadworthy Drive. We will have links for their podcast up on our radio blog. Hang in there with us. There's more to come on the Business News Hour.